Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Yo, welcome to another episode of the Nerd Off with on the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, premium network. So you guys can, you know, all you people pay extra money to hear extra content. And today's extra content, I mean, a Tuesday afternoon working you know, some nerdery for you guys. I've never done a podcast completely by myself, and today is no exception. I actually have a guest here, and possibly another guest. It's like a hand of spades. I have one and a possible. And right now, the book that I'm counting is my man Kev from the Insanity Check podcast and Movie Trailer Reviews podcast. What's going on, Kev?
Hey, man, you can always count on me, brother.
I appreciate you coming through, bro. It wouldn't have been the show without you, or it would have been me talking to myself. So,
yeah, we don't want to have that. I've done enough of that over these past few weeks. It's been crazy enough. So.
Yeah. I'd be arguing two sides of it. Well, maybe PlayStation's right. I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, man, we got, you know, we start the show the same way every week, man. And, you know, I got some news and stuff too, but I'll just ask, you know, a couple basic questions. What you been playing? What you been watching? Kev, man, what you been playing? What you been watching?
Everything.
Everything.
Huh? Like, honestly, dude, that's really the only way I can even answer it, right? Cause you've been kept up on most of the stuff I've been going on with and everything. Mm-hmm. So video games is like my ultimate, video games and movies have been my ultimate escape right now. So, I've been playing through Lego Marvel. That game is just pretty awesome. I'm loving their take on all the characters, the voices. They actually got, Clark Gregg inside the game doing the voice of Coulson too, which I thought was kind of dope.
Really?
Yeah.
That is dope.
Yeah, like, I really do. I've liked all the Lego games for the most part, but I'm having a lot of fun with this one. I just like seeing their takes on the different Marvel characters. And they got, like, one of the old dudes who used to do Wolverine's voice in there, too. So,
And that's Lego Marvel Heroes?
Yeah, Lego Marvel Superheroes. I've been playing through that.
Okay,
me and Phenom Black, you know, we still do our GTA thing almost every other night. Just playing missions and just getting up to just all kinds of stupid ass ratchetness. So
nobody can ever say that y'all didn't get y'all's money's worth out of that game,
dude. And like, thing is, Phenom's twice the level I am. My character's like 42, 43 or something. Like, Phenom's up to like level 81 and shit. And like, sometimes we'll just be bullshitting around and someone comes to fuck with us. We'll call in a helicopter and just, you know, torment the fuck out of a guy. Like, just keep blowing it up, killing them, over and over. There was one time, I think we talked about it on one of the shows, but we were driving around, and we kept hearing this annoying white kid. And we were like, man, if I ever find out who this white kid is, I'm going to kill him. Mm-hmm. And we just randomly started shooting at some missiles at some car that was driving. And it turned out to be that white kid. So I was like, yes. So we kept shooting at him. Then he's like, hey, niggas, why don't y'all chill? Man, and that was right after we killed him twice and we started to leave. Phenom was like, yo, turn this fucking helicopter around. Like, we had to, like, land the shit, and then we just kept spawn camping them then again. So, I mean, it's good times, man. You can find fun in GTA.
Yeah, every time y'all describe it, it just sounds like the Wild West to me. But, you know, but just crazier.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. You know, you gotta treat it like that. I mean, there's so many glitches going on right now. I mean, it's to the point where I got, where shit, I'm the Wolf of Wall Street in GTA because I got over like $600 million in my bank account. Mm. So, yeah, man, you gotta have fun with the shit.
Yeah, and last time I heard, you guys got like a bunch of money through this exploit, and some dude was giving a bunch of money away. And yeah. It was funny, after I heard you talk about that on Insanity Check, the next day I was reading an article about how they went and fixed that hack or whatever was wrong.
Oh, they did fix it?
Yeah, I guess it was right before they found out, because like the next day it was like Rockstar fixes hacking game that lets people exploit money or something. I was like, damn, well, glad they got that money first.
Yeah, they didn't take anything out of my bank account, and I've already bought a helicopter, tank, and all this other stuff, so I'm good. I'm like, y'all can have my money now. I got the big shit I wanted to buy.
You live in like the Wolf of Wall Street and shit.
Right. I'm like, you want to go ahead and, you know, break my stock market? Go right ahead. Shit. I got my toys.
Anything you've been watching?
Been watching, actually, I've been watching a lot of Star Trek. I've been contemplating me and a friend of mine from way, one of my oldest friends, like, me and her used to talk about Star Trek all the time back in middle school. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she was just my Star Trek The Next Generation buddy. And, you know, after, you know, all the shit happened this week, like, she's been up here with me a lot. And I think, like, the last time she was up here, when we just spent, like, 16 hours just watching Star Trek episodes, like, random episodes.
Shit, 16 hours of Star Trek?
Like, that's how me and her were back in the day. And, like, we just sat here, like, we kept here.
Hey, Kev, you breaking up a little bit. Hold on. Let me call you right back. Sometimes okay. That shit happens. Let me see. Yo, Chris, you there?
Yeah, man, I don't know what happened. The phone didn't ring when I was there. I got all the messages and stuff like that. So
no problem, man. I'm glad you can make it. Kev, you back? What's going on with Kev's? Kev, I think Kev's connection might have been fucking up. Hopefully the ice storm didn't get him.
Right, it's fucking cold as shit out here.
It's too cold for fucking digital communication.
Oh, fuck, yo.
I went out to my car, saw 11 degrees on my shit this morning. I was like, the fuck does this mean?
Yeah, I got happy because it said 11 degrees. I'm sitting there in the car, I'm watching the degrees drop down from 11 to fucking 7, dude.
Yeah, I never fucking thought would have understood that this was possible. And that was like, I had already been out in the shit at like 6 to open up the gate for Karen. Mm-hmm. So she could go to work. And all of a sudden, like, then I went back to my car like 8 and it was like 11. So it was probably colder than that this morning. Hey, yo, Kev, man, something's wrong with your line. Kev, can you hear us? Yeah, damn, I don't know. Yo, Kev's shit might be fucked up, bro.
Damn. This is a good thing I did call right when I did.
How you gonna? So what you been playing, what you been watching while I try to get Kev back on the line?
Oh, man. So, we get Kev back?
I'm calling him now.
Okay. What I've been playing. So I went ahead and got that Freedom Cry DLC for Assassin's Creed 4.
Mm.
I'm back.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, go ahead and finish up with Kev then.
Kev, you were going to say you've been watching a lot of Star Trek.
Yeah, me and my homegirl from back in the day, like, me and her just sat and watched a lot of Star Trek, and she actually didn't even know I had a podcast and a movie review stuff, and, like, she actually started listening to, like, she started with our year-end review and just started listening back to some of our old episodes, and she really digs the podcast and stuff, and she was just wondering, she really wants to just talk about Star Trek on a podcast, so I told you, know what, think about some ideas, and maybe we can probably do that like once every 2 weeks or something. We'll just do some Star Trek talk. Because me and her have had some great talks when we were younger. Like, looking at it as adults, we've had some great talks about it. And the only real problem I'm having is that she wants to be so organized. Like, she want to have set topics, this, that, and the third. I'm like, I just want to improv the entire thing. Let's just talk about Star Trek.
Well, you know, if she does a good job organizing, you can just show up and talk. You know what I mean?
Like, honestly, I think that's what it's probably going to end up being, because she has so many notes. Like, she was literally sitting there with me taking notes after notes after notes on, like, episodes where Geordi is a simp, great quotes by Worf, like, episodes that made you sad, like, what the fuck does a chief do? Because we never could figure out what Chief O'Brien did in his daily work and shit. Mm-hmm. So she had a lot of good thoughts. So I mean, she has them, and we're probably going to do some more of that stuff too.
Oh, that's what's up, man. I think it was Chris was suggesting that Karen and I go back and watch Deep Space Nine. So at some point this year,
yes, hopefully I'll be able to marathon that. I think I'm on season 4 right now. Man, they have some great episodes, and even the ones that don't even make sense toward the overall storyline. Like, I watched the episode where Odo had to fake, like, proposing to Lakshwana Troy. Man, that shit was beautiful. And it came out of nowhere.
Oh, that shit was funny as hell, man. Yeah. I remember that episode.
I'm sitting up here, I'm like bullshitting around, trying to jot down some notes, looking at apartments and shit to move in. And I just see Odo, I hear Odo talking, I'm like, dude, I'll marry you if you come at me like that and shit. God damn. I'm like, yo, he broke my heart. It's good shit, man. Good shit.
All right, man. So what about you, Chris? What you been playing? What you been watching?
All right, so what I've been playing, I think the last time I was on, we were talking about playing Assassin's Creed 4.
Yes.
And so I got the Freedom Cry DLC, and all I can say to that shit is, nigga. Nigga.
I love hearing you guys talk about it, man.
Yo, like, so I came to, I went to the fight party, and Kev's other boy, Brandon, was there, and he was talking about it. And he was just like, yo, man, I don't even hide no more. I just be killing white folks in that joint. And I was just like, I heard what he said. But you don't fully get it until you start playing that DLC. Because you really are walking around. I think it's, I can't remember where the location is, but it's one of those, islands. And, like, the French are there, and they have slaves. Mm-hmm. And so some of the things that happen is you'll be walking around, and it'll be like, there's a slave or punishing some slaves, and they'll be like, you got to free the slaves. Or there's one where they're, like, auctioning off, like, four or five slaves. And you could go up there and you could buy the slaves out, mm-hmm. but I was like, nobody does that shit. You just walk up to the joint and you just start killing the folks that are holding the slaves to free the slaves. Then they have the plantation joints where you have to free the slaves. There are like 90 slaves on the plantation, and they're like, you got to free the slaves, you got to kill 20 overseers, but you got to do it quiet because if you get into combat, the overseers will start killing slaves. And that will lower the number of slaves you have free. So you have to go and kill 20 of these overseers quiet so nobody else sees you. Jeez. And then there's the slave ship where you have to go and you have to stop board the slave ships to save the slaves. Nigga.
You know what? Everything you guys keep telling me about this game, like, yo, this is a black man's dream.
Dude. Yeah, that is.
Oh, dude.
Like this is like playing through the Django.
It really is, dude. I mean, the only thing that makes me mad about it is I know it's short. So I've been kind of like trying to stretch it out so it goes longer. Right. And been trying to stop doing the main DLC mission. But it makes me really hope that they actually do either more DLC with him or that he gets his own fucking game.
You know what?
Because
it's not even the fact that they do more DLC with him or even he gets his own game. It's just that the fact that, you know, if this is working out to be so well, that they should be, that Ubisoft should go after more of those controversial topics in history and make light of them. Because they're really making light, they're kind of making light of slavery in like a whole another way. And I praise them for it, man.
Oh, I mean, it was weird, but I said this before playing the Freedom Cry DLC, that Assassin's Creed 4 itself deals with slavery better than Assassin's Creed 3 did. And that was taking place during, you know, in America during the Revolutionary War. So you would think that would actually have some more about slavery, but it didn't. This game, even before Freedom Cry, it dealt more with the thing of slavery, and now this DLC really does. I mean, and on top of that, he has a machete for his fucking weapon.
Oh, shit.
Nigga, once you upgrade that shit, even since the upgrade is like, this machete is forged steel, and it's not for cutting sugar cane. It's like, it's for more medicine purposes. And I'm like, you goddamn right. His animation for that shit, too, though.
I can't wait to play this.
The day Rod buys this, and, you know, we look over at the Rod Live Tweets account, and it's gonna be a golden day for him.
the first 5 minutes once you get to the island, you're gonna just be like, nigga, because I swear I killed like 20 people that first like. 2 minutes, because the other thing they do is they'll have like a jailer and he's looking for free slaves. Mm. So if he sees you, he'll start calling more people over to try to. I don't even hide from that motherfucker no more, yo. If a jailer is looking, I just sit there and wait for him. Like, yeah, go and call your boys, yo.
let's go
and take care of this shit right now, yo. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. This joint is tough as shit. So,
right.
So that shit, it's just. Then he has a blunderbuss as his fucking pistol too.
Yeah.
You can take out three people or more with a well placed shot, nigga. it's just the dream, yo. So I'm telling you. So I've been playing that, and then
I don't know who that white man at Ubisoft who greenlit that DLC, but I am happy for that dude.
Yo, you know what? Like
I don't know what white man let cross this desk at Ubisoft, but you know what? I thank you, dude.
They really made it up for what's happening 3-3 for me in this case. And if they keep going this route, like I said, when you play Assassin's Creed 4, when you play the modern stuff, you'll see some of their ideas for what they might go for in the future. And I'm really hoping they do Egypt. Like, if they do Egypt, I think that would be really tough.
Dude, I want them to do Japan.
So, yeah.
They were like, they even say, because I'm playing Assassin's Creed 4, and one of the memos you find says something like the time periods that they could possibly do. And one of them was like, well, we could do pirates and we could do ninjas, but we couldn't do zombies. And they were kind of like, well, we could come up with a way to do zombies. I was just like, nope, stop it, ninjas. You had me. If I can do some ninja shit, I'm already about it.
My only thing with the whole zombies is that, you know what, there's still, no one's really got that whole market for that third person open world zombie game. Like, I'm talking about almost on the scale of like Grand Theft Auto-ish with just like a zombie survival type game. You have to actually do missions. I mean, if you think about it, like a Rockstar style game set in a zombie apocalypse style where you have to like build up your home base. You have to do missions. You have to like look for survival gear and shit like that.
Yeah. According to the documents they had, they were like, we could do zombies, but the way we would, they were like, we don't want to do like another just zombie retread. So they were like, it would be some like, voodoo / Caribbean islands type shit. It wouldn't be some like straight up, like Walking Dead type zombies. It would, it would have some type of reasoning behind it.
That memo was actually pretty cool. It actually gives you a little insight into what Ubisoft is thinking, but they actually put it into the game as like the meta go. It's actually honestly,
Real meta.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
It's kind of like they're trying to gauge what their consumers are going to think by putting in those little tidbits, and they know that people are going to go to Reddit, 4chan, and other boards, start talking about that. Hey, did you see that little thing about them maybe wanting to go to Japan? Oh, what about the zombies, man? That sounds cool too.
They're
sitting up there looking at that kind of stuff to see, what do people want to see in the next game?
It's also really funny. Because near the end of the email chain, there's one person that's like, hey guys, have you thought that maybe we don't need to be using this for violence? We could just
So good.
My uncle was the person who was the notary of Republic for Einstein, and he had to deal with patenting a lot of his ideas, and we could play as a patent clerk who helps him. And the next dude blanked on him so hard in the email, like he was cussing at him and everything. And then the next email was like, maybe we should take this offline, Owen.
Because you're going through all the emails, you're reading all this shit, and you're just like, that's really good. Then you really get the wet blanket dude coming in going, I don't know about all this virus, guys. It's so good. So, funny thing that Kevin...
Hold on, Chris, you got a little bit of static. Hold on, I'm gonna call you right back.
Okay.
Alright.
I was thinking that was me for a minute. I'm like, nah. Messing around with my cords and shit.
Nah, you're good now, and now we have issues with Chris.
Damn, right,
there we go, that better?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
So funny thing that Kevin mentioned, zombies, I have also finished playing, Dead Rising 3. And so I went back. I remember the first time I was on here talking about that, I was really mad about the save feature, stuff like that. I realized one thing you could do with that is you can save anytime you want now with Dead Rising 3, which is a huge step up from the last game, where you had to struggle to find a save point.
Okay.
This one you can save at any point you want. If you're in the middle of doing something, you're like, fuck, I need to save, you can do that. It does, like, will put you at the closest garage instead of actually leaving you off where you really stand, but that's not that bad.
Yeah.
So I finished playing it, and the story was good. The game is just a ton of fucking fun. Once you've removed, just make sure you save and everything like that, the game is a ton of fun. The problem I have with what they did with this game is they really don't want you to fucking play it. They really don't want you to have fun with it. So I beat the game thinking to myself, okay, I still have a couple more side missions to do. I have a couple of new things I want to look for, stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, now that I beat it, I'll go back into open world and keep playing. Can't do it. There's no free roam after you beat the fucking game.
What?
You basically have to start a new game. You get to keep all your stuff, all your upgrades and all your blueprints and stuff like that that you created for the weapons and vehicles and stuff like that. But you can't just go back into where you left off after the story's stopped, stay where you're at, and keep playing. Like,
I mean, there's a story end in a way where you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're still alive. Well,
it's not even saying that it's alive. Is it one of those joints where you finish the story where, like, okay, you still have, like, it should be feasible for you to still have, like, an open world playground to play in?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the place is destroyed. Like, there's, like, several different endings. So there are a lot of different endings to this game. But even if you do that, most games, even if it doesn't logically make sense for the ending, still let you do that. Like Assassin's Creed 4. I mean, any Assassin's Creed game. Mm-hmm. When you're done playing the game, even if, like, your character died or something happened to him, they just drop you back into the last.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
And you can play it. Mass Effect 3 does that. You know, if you're finished playing Mass Effect 3, whenever you go back, you can still go back and play before you do that last set of missions. They'll just let you drop you back in there, and you can go back and do your side missions or whatever the fuck you want to do. You can do DLC, stuff like that. Like, that's all Dead Rising 3 had to do, and Capcom had to do with that. They didn't do that for some fucking reason. Like, they make you have to go and start a new game. And it's just fucking stupid. And I think that's the reason why I love the game, but I hate the game too, because it's such a fun game to play, and they try their hardest to make you not want to fucking play it no more. Mm-hmm. It's so infuriating. It's dumb things that they include from the last game. Like, in Dead Rising 2, you could close the door behind you. So if you went into a building and went into a store, and the door was, you know, you had to open the door, you could close the door behind you. In Dead Rising 3, you can't do that. So when you're having a garage, and that's where you make your combo vehicles, you can't close the garage fucking doors. So you go into a garage to create a vehicle, and you can't close the door until the zombies come in. So you sound like you can spend a lot of time trying to, like, try different vehicles. No.
That seems like a really bad design flaw.
It's horrible, dude. It's like, again, what makes me so mad is the game is so much fucking fun. Mm. Like, the combo weapons you have in that game, loads of fucking fun. Like, there's one, the Dragon Punch, fucking hilarious. Any of the Mecha Dragon ones, great to use. They have this one, I can't remember what it's fucking called, but it's a giant bear that you hook up with, like, rocket launchers and machine guns, and you set it up like a sentry gun, and you put it down, and it just starts fucking killing turds, and it's got the bear voice too, so it's like, oh, let's go! It's just fucking hilarious. You know? So it's tons of fun. Like, the vehicle I love using, like the Roller Hog, is basically a combination of a steamroller and a fucking motorcycle. And it has flamethrowers on it. Nigga. Like, you just sit there and you be killing, like, a ton of fucking zombies, yo.
But when you make a vehicle, you basically do it in real time. It doesn't pause the action at all.
Well, it pauses the action. But it's kind of a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have a little automatic animation it does when it makes vehicles, and it takes like maybe like 3 or 4 fucking seconds. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, like, in the garage, the zombies are still coming in. Mm-hmm. So if the zombie was like 5 feet away from you when you started, by the time you get done, it's probably 1 foot away from you.
Oh, shit.
Right. So, I mean, it's an annoyance, but it's not that big of a deal. Because, like I said, it lets you finish the making the vehicle, and you can usually get away from the zombie. So it's not that big of a deal. But it's just stupid. Why would you do that? You could close doors in the last game. Why can't you close doors in this game? Like, all of a sudden, this dude can, like, so this dude can create vehicles out of nothing in, like, 3 seconds, but he can't close the fucking door to a garage? Like, it just doesn't make any fucking sense. So it's that, and then the whole no free roam at the end of the game. The reason why I haven't played this and I beat it now, because it's like, so I got to start the game over again now? Even with the new stuff, it's just like, I don't want to. I just wanted to finish the side missions I had. So, yeah, it sucks because it's a really fun game to play, and the side missions are cool. The story actually isn't that bad. I actually, you know, I never finished the story for Dead Rising 2, because I got frustrated with this one. I actually wanted to finish it, and it's fun, but it's like they just did a stupid thing, and I'm hoping they add it back in. Like, I feel like it should be easy for them to do a patch to be like, okay, fine.
Just really didn't have like a free mode, because I'm pretty sure the other games had a free mode that you can eventually unlock or something.
Right, because maybe that's what it is. You got to unlock it or something like that. Because what gets me about it, the way that anybody knows when you play Dead Rising, the games, that they have that timer that goes on, because they have to set time. Like, you know, if you don't finish within 6 days, they're going to blow up the city or something like that. You know, they're going to try to stop the zombie infection that way. So that's still here with this game. So you still want a clock. And that's why I don't want to start a new game, because it's like, I don't want to take my time and just walk around. Like, there's so many zombies. And there's, like, different kinds of zombies, too. So it's like, you'll have, like, when the military shows up, you'll start seeing military zombies. And so they have, like, a bunch of, they have, like, the flak jacket on, and some of them will have guns. And, like, they're not, like, they can't aim and shoot the gun at you, but they're zombies, so they had a gun in their hand. So they'll, like, automatically start firing the gun at the ground. And all of a sudden, so it's really cool how they do the animation. It'll be, like, a prison bus. It'll be prison bus zombies. So you got these big, like, you know, bull-headed, Aryan Nation-ass motherfuckers who are, like, hard to take down because they're, like, huge, jacked-up fucking zombies. The fucking firefighters. In firefighter gear, fucking tough as shit to fucking kill on your own, yo. It's, like, it's really cool the way they did that shit. But, again, being fucking assholes, there's always that, like, they just did things that most open-world games don't fucking do. It's, like, dude, autosave, motherfucker. It's not that fucking hard.
The thing that always got me about that game is it just felt a little bit like too much like Dynasty Warriors with zombies for me. And I just felt like I could kill zombies forever. And then eventually it would lose the flavor for me after a while. I'd be like, all right, I'm tired of killing fucking zombies all day. So, you know, but what about, anything else you've been playing or watching?
So what I've been watching, because I got a fight coming up soon, so I haven't really been watching anything heavy. So what I've been trying to do, because you mentioned it before, Chronicle, I was talking about how it was a great found footage film, which it is still the best found footage film ever. I've been going back and watching just found footage films on Netflix. Because either they're really good or they're so bad that I can just fall asleep on them. So I watched Troll Hunter, which actually I need to watch again because I fell asleep on that. But not because it was bad. I had taken NyQuil, and it has subtitles. But I caught the tail end of it, and it seems like it's really good. It started good, and it finished good, so I got to go back and watch it. And I talked to Kevin about it a little bit, and that seemed like a really good one. It just has subtitles.
I've seen that one, and that's still one of my favorite, like, that's one of my favorite Netflix finds and shit.
Right.
Like, Troll Hunter.
So I watched that. I did VHS. That one's okay. It still has a lot of the problems a lot of found footage films have. What I liked about that one is, they told me why to get this, that it's not one continuous story. It's a bunch of little stories. Like, it's like five different stories in one. So I was like, that one's actually kind of cool, too. So, and they're, each is like maybe like 10, 15 minutes along itself. So that one's not bad. And then there's a bunch of just really, really fucking bad ones. Like, found footage is one of those things that makes some of these people like Uwe Boll look like fucking geniuses. It's like, you should not be making movies. Like, just because you can make one doesn't mean you should be making one. Like, people don't understand that the reason why Chronicle and some of these other ones are good is because they... Oh, I also watch Europa Report, which is actually pretty good, too. So, when you do a found footage film, you should still make a film and plan it out and direct it and plan out your shots. You don't just give the camera to the actor and be like, okay, now in this scene, go. You should still plan out, like, they don't do that. They don't plan out their shots. They just say, this is the script, this is the movie, hold the camera here and zoom in on their faces, and that's what we're going to do.
You know, the other problem, or my main problem with almost every found footage film except Chronicle, is it's always during the third act that they reach a point where the action and the stakes are so ridiculous, I don't believe anyone would pick up a camera. Like, you know, where it's just that, it's like, oh my God, the Cloverfield monster is gonna kill us. It's after us. A helicopter just crashed. We're all gonna die. Hold on, let me get my camera. Like, I don't believe that.
Dude, one of the ones I watched was Area 407 or something like that. These motherfuckers survived a plane crash, and this motherfucker has a camera out filming this shit after the plane crash. I'm like, no, the plane just crashed. People just died. You're going to be looking for food. You're going to try to survive. You're not going to get a camera and be filming this shit right now. That does not happen.
Right.
Hey, Chris, real quick, since you just brought me, what did you think of Charlito Copley in that joint, and what'd you think of the ending?
Oh, the UFO report?
Yeah.
I thought... He's actually really good. Like, I as soon as I saw him, I was like, that's who you guys are talking about, the guy from District 9. I was like, oh yeah, and I like him in his movies. Like, he's really good in these kind of roles. So I did like that, and I thought the ending was great. Because again, the ending of this movie kind of takes care of what Rob was talking about, but the whole, why do you have a camera aspect? In this case, it's like, they have a camera to document it, because they pretty much know, we're not going to make it back. So we need people to see what we're seeing, so this is why we're doing this. And again, they also use other camera angles, like Chronicle did, which is the cameras in the actual ship and stuff like that, and it's not just them holding a fucking camcorder. It made fucking sense. So I liked the way that worked, you know? It was a different take, you know? It's not just an alien monster movie. It's a different take on, you know, the humans trying to go out and explore and see this life out in the universe. So it's actually a really good one. So I enjoyed that, man.
Yeah, I watched Quarantine a while back.
I saw that one, yeah.
And Quarantine is actually pretty decent for like two-thirds mm-hmm. of the movie. And then you get to a point where like the cameraman gets fucked up. And for some reason, he's like, it's still so important to film this. I'm like,
is that the one when they're trapped in the apartment building?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Okay. I just had to be sure.
Yeah, and I enjoyed that one, man. Like I said, until they got to like, I'm pretty much the very end. And then it was just like, okay, yeah, none of this shit would have happened.
And again, the way they can fix that is, all you gotta do is just start having cameras set up in the house.
Right.
And just say, it's security, and use security footage. Because, again, Quarantine is another one that I actually like Quarantine. And, again, same problem. Towards the end, you're just like, drop the motherfucking camera. I actually was talking to Kevin about this. I think it would be really cool to do a found footage film. You gotta do one based out of London or one of these, because London has all these fucking cameras around anyway. Yeah.
They have closed circuit television everywhere in London, so
perfect thing to do like, you could do a monster movie there, mm-hmm. found footage style, and it could be using the footage off the security cameras.
You know,
be
it doesn't fucking have awesome. To be that. I mean, they can make it seem like it's a security camera. So we know London has that aspect, so why not explore?
You don't even have to be in London. You can make it up. Like, you can just be like, this particular house or this particular neighborhood or whatever, and just start turning, you know, like, all I need is a convenient excuse to continue to believe that it's found footage. Chronicle just did the best job I've ever seen with it. One, because you had a dude that had, you know, these weird mental issues and stuff revolving mm-hmm. around the cameras. But also, what people forget is during the last action set piece, it switches to so many surveillance cameras mm-hmm. that it actually makes it, like, it's actually even better. It puts you right into action. Like, when he flips the police car, it's only like 3 seconds of screen time, but it's fucking huge when you're watching the movie.
And not only that, and you ever report to something too that I don't understand why they don't fucking do. When they're doing like the spacewalk and stuff like that, they use a camera that's on the fucking spacesuit.
Right.
And I'm just like, hey, dudes, when you're making these found footage films, why don't you just make it a wearable camera?
Right. Yeah.
That would explain why the motherfucker has a camera while they're being chased by a fucking something.
You know who?
They can't take that shit off.
You know who did a really great job? It wasn't a found footage film, but a really great.
Exactly what you're about to say, too, Rod.
Aliens. I was gonna say aliens when the Marines infiltrate the alien nest with Ridley, like they actually have all of them are camered up with helmet cams and they basically film the whole scene from like first person perspective just about, and it feels so intense, and they don't have to like come up with some weird ass like and this person's holding the camera. It's just like, dude, yeah, you're a camera, now go out there and die.
Right. That shit was so intense too, man. That's why I love that film, man. When he goes, man, what the fuck's going on? Man, they're screaming at each other. You don't know what's going on. They're freaking the fuck out. People's cameras are going down. Yo, that shit was fucking intense as fuck. And that's 1979?
Yeah.
It's like, and you're thinking about it in 2014, why are you motherfuckers doing that shit? Why is it that old fucking movie got it, but you motherfuckers can't get it? Just put a fucking camera on somebody's fucking shoulder, and that would explain why I got a goddamn camera. To them holding, and also carrying the shaking camera shit too.
Yeah.
Because like, what they do is,
I wouldn't even argue if they did it. I'm just like, okay, like you've established this in the movie already, so whatever.
Yeah, it's all about establishing it. Like you said, like you don't even have to be like, this is a real thing in real life. Make it up. Hey, we require that all of our employees wear these camera shirts. All right, cool. Now in the third act, when I'm like, no one running for their life picks up a camera, I don't worry about it because it's on your fucking shirt. Yeah. So let's just go, you know?
I think for like 2 or 3 seconds, I might sit there, well, that's kind of dumb, but all right, let's go with the camera.
Adrian Show did it recently, and other people have done it. Yo, the glass cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Like, we've seen this in sci-fi before. People have the camera through their glasses.
Motherfucker just wearing a pair of Google glasses and shit.
Yeah. It's so fucking simple, and if you put that on everybody, you then get the... Because that's the only thing two people want is, they want you to be... That's the reason why they focus on their faces. They want you to see their actors, which the other problem with found footage films that nobody talks about is, the reason why the good found footage films work is, they also have people that can act.
Right.
So Chronicle has people that can act. The Liberal Report has people that can act. You know, when you get these other found footage films, these people can't fucking act. So then not only are you putting the camera in their fucking face and you don't explain why the camera's in their fucking face, they're trying to act and they can't fucking act. So the director can't act, the director can't direct, the actors can't fucking act, so it's just all bad. So it's like, and it gives the found footage genre a bad name because you can make that good. Like I said, your report's really good. Troll Hunter is actually really good too. It's like, they did a really good job with that one too from what I can see.
It's still one of my favorite ones, man.
And Chronicle, obviously, is still good. So yeah. It's like, when you get a good director, good actor, and you have a reasoning for having a camera there, makes fucking sense. So, yeah. That's what I've been watching right there, so.
All right, for me personally, man, I've been playing Assassin's Creed 4 because of Chris's recommendation. Yeah, it's great. It's, to me, the best Assassin's Creed game, and I don't even think it's close. Just the fact that it's open world, and the fact that they give you so much to do, and they're so self-aware of the game itself, that was pretty cool. And I also just really like this protagonist, and that he kind of thinks this is bullshit too, and he's more like you as a player, because a player is personally like, you know, yeah, I know, the Templar cause, whatever the fuck, when do I collect these coins, right? So that dude is basically playing the whole game, like, when do I collect these coins? And that's what I want to do, so, you know, I like that. Some of the, like, side quest type shit that you do is like, such a different variety than before that I actually really enjoy it. So, like, doing stuff like going to catch a shark or a whale is fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really fun.
And hard.
yeah. I mean, well, I personally, man, I've been finding it pretty easy.
Oh, shit.
But I leveled up all my shit before I even tried to catch one.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Like, I was just like, yeah, let me get the best of that shit, please. Yes, I'll take all of that. The hardest shit to me, though, is the trying to get sunken treasure.
Oh, yeah.
Nigga, what? How you supposed to live through that?
Yeah, dude, I did the first one where you had to do one. The first time it was part of the main mission, you had to do one. And I was just like, yeah, I'm going to try this again after I finish the game. Because that shit was, not only was it hard, but it was too stressful, dog. As soon as the sharks come, too stressful, dog. I was like, no, I can't do this.
Sharks are way worse than British soldiers. Like, British soldiers see you, they might have a gun, they try to reason with you, hey, stop running, sir, calm down. Sharks are like, is that something to eat? Fuck it, I'm gonna go see if it's something to eat. And next thing you know, you're fighting for your fucking life under the ocean, trying to get back to the fucking thing so you can heal. Dude, that shit is scary every time. I stopped going in sunken treasure shit, cause it's not fun. It's just scary.
The first time I did it, I got a little phobia, yo. I'm not gonna lie. I talked about it on the show before. I got a phobia of sharks. So as soon as I saw there were sharks and it's undersea, and this motherfucker has no dive gear.
None. Nigga.
Let's remind people, no dive gear, no harpoon gun. He just out there bare chested under the fucking water.
That, nigga, this
reminds me of like Far Cry 3 when I would try to like kill them fucking sharks.
Yes.
You sitting in a boat shooting arrows and shit, but yeah, y'all going in the water to try to fight.
Look, dog. Damn. Hey, look. I'm gonna tell you something. There's never been a game that took me out of the game more than this moment because I realized that I was not a white man. Like, I feel like if I had been a white dude, I feel like that would have been completely acceptable. Like, yeah, sometimes you gotta take your shirt off, hop in there with the sharks and go get the treasure. But as a black man, I was like, man, I ain't doing this shit. This is stupid.
No, you're mad uncomfortable, dog. Mad uncomfortable.
Like, Susie got off the boat, I was like, why this nigga ain't got no shirt on? That was number one. And number two, man, he just hopped in. He really hops in the water with sharks with just some pants on and starts swimming around, dude. And then the sharks are only, to me, like, the sharks were bad enough. Mm-hmm. But nigga, once you get to like the second level of those diving things, man, they have moray eels, they have stingrays. Dude, like, you'll go
Steve Irwin down there and shit.
Dude, you get Steve Irwin all the time. I went down there and I was like, oh, I can hide in this grass till the shark passes over. A fucking eel just jumped out and was like, sss. I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
And that'd include all this you might could drown.
Yeah, oh, you're running out of air the whole time.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, too. Like, yeah. I meant to ask you, and I'm like, well, shit, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so what they do is they have a dive bell, so you can drop, you use a dive bell, you can get some air from there, and then sometimes they'll drop down, like, little,
barrels of air.
Air pockets for you, stuff like that. So you, but you should have to swim to those.
Yep.
And once you use one, I think it's done.
It's done, yep. And the thing is, too, though, like, the dive bell will heal you, but the barrels won't. And the barrels, you can only hide in them for like 1 second. Then you get all the air and it's up to your ass to get away.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary as shit, dude. And fuck that game for not telling you until the eel is killing you that you're going to have to fight an eel. Like it waited till the eel bit me. Then it was like, sometimes there's more eels. So I was like, fuck you, man. listen for the hiss.
Yeah, man. That game is so real, dude. It's real. I remember one time, I had to fight the tiger or something like that, the white tiger or something. I was just like, man, this is fucking ridiculous. Yeah, man.
I accidentally killed, it was like the black jaguar or something, like some kind of weird color albino jaguar or something.
Mm-hmm.
I accidentally killed that motherfucker. Like, it just, like, I was hiding in the bushes and I turned around and I just heard something going, I was like, oh shit, pow, 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 pow. then I got the skin. It was like, you collected the jaguar skin. I was like, oh shit.
That was endangered.
Yeah. I was,
of its kind.
I have no calmness about me when I'm in the woods doing pirate shit, man. Like, I'm much more comfortable killing humans than fucking with them animals, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you that water shit, man. You know, it's like I said, that's why I love this game, man. I told you, it's like even the, like, Edway Kinway is like, to me, is my favorite assassin right now, because he's not really an assassin.
Yeah.
And he's just a regular dude like you and I, just trying to get some money. And it's real, man. Like, that game is fun.
He keeps lucking up into this assassin shit. Like, he cannot be, dude cannot be bothered more by this assassin shit. Cause it, like, he'll be like, yeah, man, I think we need to just get some rum, get out on Allen. You know, we can run shit from here. And then, like, his homie will show up and be like, yeah, you know, you have an important calling and you have the gift. He's like, yeah, dog, that's cool. Look, are y'all paying people to kill these people, or y'all just doing, cause I'll do it for some money. I was going to kill people anyway.
Dude, but, just wait until you get to the one where the assassin, was in love with the Templar, and she's trying to have that touching moment with the Templar. It's still my funniest fucking moment in the game. Cause Kinway really just interrupts her like, hey, listen, I know there's a touching moment and all, but, I ain't want that key he got right now. So, look at the faces.
It's so good, man. I played Walking Dead season 2, at episode 1, finished that, really good. You know, different, real different playing this Clementine. And some of the shit they make her do to survive, you're just like, wow.
Have we?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, that's what I couldn't remember or not.
Yeah, but like the part, I'll just say, self-surgery, nigga.
Oh, fuck that,
son.
Oh my god.
Fuck Telltale Games for that shit, dog.
Dude, I thought it was bad when you were Lee cutting off his arm.
Actually, that wasn't even my worst part of this episode, man. That motherfucking dog.
Oh, the dog. By the way, though, that was one of those moments in video games where I was like, and that's why I don't fuck with dogs.
Dude, I was literally sitting there, I'm like, yeah, that's right. We're going to name this dog Lee, and we're going to have adventures together going forward in the episode.
Yeah, as soon as she dropped that can, I said, I don't trust this dog.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You never pick up food from a fucking dog, a wild dog like that, man. You don't want to do that shit with your own dog. just man, about.
After I played that shit, I was making some food in the kitchen, and Matthew was just started sniffing towards it. I looked at him like, nigga, I will knee you in the fucking face.
Right. I ain't no little girl, boy.
Right. He looked at me like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I was like, it's for Clementine, motherfucker.
Yeah. Some of the shit that they have, I love the way that they have different communication options though with her. Like when you're an adult, there's a lot more like fuck you moments and a lot more like direct shit. But she also, but like sometimes they'll just have like a random option, like make a pouty face. And you're like, and I've done it. Like I've like, they're like, we should just kill her. And then I'll be like, no. Just look at, it's like, look.
After that dog bit me, man, Clementine went kind of cold hearted. So.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I was, we're talking about the plane dead, but man, I was talking to them grown ups like, you dumb motherfucker, I'm a fucking 9 year, I'm a 12 year old girl, what the fuck's wrong with you, you scared of me?
Like, dude, I talk so much shit to that pregnant lady, dude.
Fuck her, yeah.
Fuck her, she's a bitch. Right. I was really like, whose baby is it though? She was like, what? You heard me. You heard me. She was like, I hate you, little kid. I was like, I hate your ass too. And what I've been watching, Orphan Black. A lot of people been telling me to get into this for like about a year now. It's really good, man. It's very sci-fi kind of, but also real worldish. You know what I mean? Like, it's fun. It's intriguing. And it's written very well. I think I'm at episode, I want to say 6 or 7. I just started today. And yeah, man, just like the character actors are good. The like supporting role people are funny and good. Like it's a good mix of comedy as in addition to just, you know, the actual like, drama of it and all that shit and action and all that stuff. And the lady who plays, Sarah Manning and the rest of the, you know, different versions of Sarah and shit. Tatiana Maslany, I believe that's how you say it, or Maslany.
Right.
Yo, I see why people were mad that she didn't get the Emmy, dude. Like, I just don't want to give too many details or spoil it, but she basically.
Halfway through the first season, I gotta pick it back up and finish watching, because I was watching, it was on TV, but I couldn't keep up. But yeah, she's amazing, man.
Dude, she plays basically like 8 or 9 different people in this fucking thing, and each one is distinctively different from the next. And I'm just like, how the fuck didn't you win everything? Cause that's crazy. I've never seen anyone do that before.
Americans don't like British shows, dog.
That must be it.
I'm gonna take this out.
Yeah, dog. It's, I had to buy the season on, Amazon Prime. I want to say it might have been like maybe $15 for 13 episodes, maybe.
Yeah, I can do that. I'm doing the same thing with Arrow right now. So to me, if a show's good and you guys are saying it's good, it's worth that fucking money, and I can watch it on Amazon and the universe. So yeah, I might do that.
Each show is like an hour, and it take. And the thing is, it's fucked up, man, that people don't give British shows a chance because it's by the you know BBC or whatever, but it takes place in America. Like almost all of the actors have like American accents and shit. Anyway, they're talking regular English, and there's a few characters that come from like, you know, Europe or some type of British background. But most of the people there are just, you know, English speaking. You can understand everything. It's not some weird type of cultural shift. And, even more importantly, I love that it's such a diverse cast, man. Like BBC shows is just like, they are ahead of the curve of America. And America's starting to catch up, but just having a diverse cast, man. I love that they did it.
Well, speaking of diversity, I want to, it's in my Netflix too. I just haven't watched it. Luther, I've been wanting to check that out. I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I haven't watched that one yet, too, but people have been telling me it's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, I definitely want to check that out. And you're right about BBC. I mean, they have a lot of good shows. You know, I heard also, isn't Sherlock on there? Because people have been telling me about that, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they got Benedict Cumberbatch in there. You know, I mean, he's been fucking killing it on movies. Mm-hmm. And so he's been on Sherlock. People were just like, yeah, you got to check out Sherlock. So, yeah, I got to get on my BBC flow and start watching some of that shit, man, because... Yeah, I heard they got good stuff going on.
All right, man, let's get into this news, man. I'll try to rush through it, and I don't think there's a ton of it anyway, but Netflix is offering House of Cards season 2 is about to come up in like the end of January or something like that, or February 14th, I think. But they also re-released the audio version of the season 1 that has director commentary on it. And, cool. The reason that that's interesting to me is cause I feel like that could become a thing, and I hope it does. And I hope they start offering it on some of the studio releases, man. Cause, you know, sometimes the only reason I buy a Blu-ray or something is like, well, if I ever want to go back and watch director's commentary or outtakes or something, I can't watch that on Netflix. So I'll just buy a Blu-ray. So if Netflix can replace that, man, I mean, what's the point of getting a Blu-ray really? Other than, you know, unless you're really, really, really big into like video quality, and I'm not that huge into it, you know, that I can tell that big of a difference.
I agree, Rod. I agree.
Yep. No, truth of the matter, that's the reason why I buy Blu-rays right now, just to get the, mainly to get the extras that come with it, because some of the extras are really cool. So if they start offering the extras with the digital download, like I could, like, go to Amazon and get the digital download off of there or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah. I'm doing that for now, because there's just no reason now. With all the streaming options we have now, like today I watched last night's Almost Human episode on the Xbox One using the Fox Now app, you know, and it was fine. You know, there's no difference between watching that or watching on my regular TV. So with all the streaming apps I have now, it sucks that in order to get extras on my Blu-ray, I have to get the Blu-ray. Right. I should be able to get that streaming somewhere. So, yeah, I'm down with this. I hope it goes well for Netflix.
Halo, is officially announced that the next Halo game is still coming to Xbox One, this year. So 2014, there will be some form of Halo on Xbox One. So,
yeah, that's like, Captain Obvious to me right there. But, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering when they were gonna, if they were gonna officially announce it or anything, because they showed that trailer, and that trailer was so bare bones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, you know, they could be just some shit that didn't come out to 2015, but they just didn't wanna not have Halo. But if they say it's coming out this year, I'm assuming it'll probably be near Christmas time or something, probably not anytime early, but cool, you know, that's all, that's cool. Remote play. For people that have PlayStation 4s, you can use like your PSP and you can play like remotely the games and shit. They said that feature is so good on the PS4, it's moved sales up over 60% for PS Vitas.
I believe it, because actually the other day a bunch of my buddies are over here just hanging out and everything. One of my buddies is playing a game on his PlayStation 4, which he has on his PlayStation 4 at his house, at my apartment, which is on the other side of Baltimore.
Wow. Yeah.
Through Wi-Fi and everything like that. So.
Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so.
Technology.
Selling, you know, and that's one of the, you know, that's one of the features that, ironically, that's one of the features that I thought would be cool about PS4 and felt real next gen. And they didn't really talk about it that much coming up selling the fucking thing.
They were so focused on the whole, hey guys, this is how you can trade your games on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, the funny thing about it is, same, I think it's the same, it's Brandon, right, that show, does that?
Yeah.
He showed us at the Fight Party 2, he showed us a feature that if Xbox had done this, people would have freaked the fuck out. So if you had the PS4 camera, you can use your Vita to check on your PS4 camera. So he was like spying on his girlfriend who was at his house in front of the PS4. He was looking at her on his Vita sitting on Kev's couch. And I'm like, that's the kind of shit that people got mad at Xbox for with the fucking Kinect, but you can do it with the PS4.
Right.
You can't do it with the Xbox 360, I mean with the Xbox One, but you can do it with the PS4. But that's the shit, the privacy shit that people were bitching about with Xbox. I'm like, see, this is why I'm like, most people's complaints about next-gen systems are full of shit.
Yeah,
it's like, come on, man. Same shit you can do, actually worse shit you can do on with the PS4 and this camera, and you can do with the Xbox One.
They're so worried about big brother. They ain't worried about little brother and shit. So,
like, I'm telling people, I was like, yo, Sony's just as bad as Microsoft, but you motherfuckers complaining about the dumbest shit. Okay, whatever.
Well, so. Sony. That's why Sony is so good, man. Like they know how to market that shit so well, man. And they don't, you know, they don't fuck up the PR, at least, you know, this time around. The Division, which is a game that got so many demos, so many like, you know, this is the game that's gonna be blah blah blah, is getting pushed back to 2015 minimum. So Ubisoft is apparently gonna have to push that back, man. And I know that shit, and then the Tom Clancy game was like getting a whole lot of this is the future of gaming shit, and yeah, won't be seeing it in 2014.
That's why I don't buy it. I didn't buy the next gen system for the games, because I knew this shit was gonna happen. I tell people all the time, don't get excited, because you know these games are either gonna get canceled or they're gonna get pushed back. Right. And when they do come out, some of them might suck.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people ask me like, hey man, so is the Xbox One worth it for the games? And I keep telling them like, no. Why would you? At this point, who cares about games?
What would even make you think that?
Yeah, like what? All the good games that are good on it are available on other platforms. So it's not the games that sold me; it's the features, you know,
right?
And the promise of more features in the future.
Right. It's just like, who bought the shit for the games, yo? Nobody. Yeah. That's stupid, yo.
I don't know anyone who actually, like, if anyone's really saying they bought an action system for the games, I really think they're full of it, because there's not going to be that many exclusives going forward. I mean, I think exclusives really died with the way of the last generation. You're going to have your few that's made by Sony and Microsoft, but outside of that, third parties, dude, they want that money. They're going to make their games on every system.
Yep.
They might have a few exclusives here and there for like DLC or something, but no, the majority of that shit will be on every system, man.
Like, if I had a Vita, I would have bought a PS4, because that shit, what Kevin's talking about, that shit's awesome. The remote play, that's fucking awesome. But right. I'm not buying it for the game, I'm buying it for that fucking feature. Yeah. Same thing with the Xbox One. The feature of Snap and the TV aspect and the integration of that shit is so fucking awesome that even right now, I'm watching TV through the Xbox. I do everything through the Xbox now. So it's like, the gaming is just icing on the cake at this point. So yeah.
And what are the little features that nobody really brings up, or maybe it's just you don't think about it till you're actually playing it, but just the ability to hop back into a game is just so fucking, like, at this point I don't know how I can ever go back to I don't have to hit a button or anything, just play Assassin's Creed 4. Bam, right back exactly where I left off. No, never hit a pause button, never, you know, that's just so dope to me. Sony is had a huge announcement today. They are launching a cloud-based live TV and video on demand service, as well as the ability to play games via streaming. This is huge in my opinion. As not the TV and the video, not so much, because you know, the streaming video on demand is something that, you know, pretty much everybody else has done at this point. Even the Xbox has a store and all this stuff. So, and then you have like a ton of apps that do the same thing. But cloud-based live TV is good. That's a big step for them, because, you know, Xbox 360 had like Fios, I believe, and something else, and then now the Xbox One has basically your whole cable can basically be through your fucking Xbox. So them getting live TV is a huge deal, especially if it works well. That it's not coming out to 2014, the middle of the summer, supposedly they're gonna start rolling out some of it, but that would be huge. And more importantly, man, streaming games, that would be the future. And that's definitely something that I was interested to see how they were going to handle, you know, like, especially like if you had a PlayStation 3, do you lose your library? Do you, like, you know, if I sell it, do I just not have the ability to play those games anymore? But if I could stream them, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, you convinced me to sell my PS3 and get a PS4. And I think that's a huge deal, and that probably will jump up their sales tremendously.
Not even so much the streaming. I mean, just give me the option to have access to it digitally.
Right.
But, you know, I think the thing with that is that they really have no clue on how to tell who bought their games originally on the PlayStation 3, so they don't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I just think it's a big deal, man.
Yeah, you know, that's just good.
I don't know how far in advance they had planned it, because it seems weird that they just didn't lead with this. I don't know, man. It just seems weird that they didn't.
I think Sony and I think Microsoft was talking about doing the same thing about, because yeah. there's a whole thing about neither system being backwards compatible
yes.
with the old systems. I think both of them came out and said that you'll be able to stream. I think Xbox is going to do something similar too. Yeah. It is one of the things I think, like people always talk about, so, well, some of the reviews of something Xbox One were like, well, it's rushed and it's not complete. Same thing happened with Sony. It's like, neither system put out, like, they put out a lot of features you'll be able to do in the future, mm-hmm. but none of them do all the features they say they'll be able to do. Mm-hmm. So I think this year, throughout 2014, you're going to start seeing them roll back some more of those features. So for Sony, they're going to come out with this cloud streaming their game, which something I think they did talk about. I said Xbox would be coming out with something similar too. I also expect Xbox to eventually be making announcements about their video game marketplace coming back and finally getting that taken care of.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the thing with both these systems. It's like, that's the thing about next gen. When you get a next gen system right away, they're going to have a lot of things that are kind of there but aren't ready for prime time yet. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to start seeing over the next couple of years them start rolling out some of these features. And like I said,
the thing that's dope about this is it's going to be with the PlayStation Now service, which is a pay service, so mm-hmm. you know, no more Xbox Live, you gotta pay for it, you know, you gotta pay for this shit, but it's gonna be able to work with your like smartphone, possibly your tablet, PS3, PlayStation 4, your Vita. Like, you're supposed to be able to play these games on multiple platforms from the PlayStation Now like library of games. That, man, that is the future, dude. Like, mm-hmm. that's the kind of shit that would have got me to get a PlayStation 4. Or at least consider it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't know. Yeah, like, maybe they weren't 100% sure when they could roll it out, so they didn't want to, like, lead with that, but they should.
I think now that both systems are selling well, because, I mean, they both came up with the numbers, they're both selling well. I'm seeing people going, oh, well, Microsoft lost the next. Stop that bullshit.
Yeah.
They both sold way more next-gen systems than I thought would be possible this early in the fucking game, all right? Mm-hmm. Now they're both doing well, I think you're going to start seeing people start focusing more on the next-gen shit. So I think now that, especially for Sony, I'm actually kind of glad that Sony outsold the Xbox One, just so now Sony can stop being a bitch and start focusing on their next-gen shit.
Right.
Because what happened after when Microsoft went first, Sony was like, all right, take all the next-gen shit out, and let's just say we're going to play fucking games. Right. And so they never focus on any of the next-gen shit. Now they've done what they wanted to do, which is sell more. They can just, you know, they can now tell us. They can now tell us the future of fucking gaming and show it to us. So mm-hmm. I think it's good.
Microsoft is going to incorporate feedback into the new Xbox One features. So, like, when they roll it out, I guess people will be able to, like, comment, like, hey, I like this, don't like this, you know, these are things you need to work on. This is a, you know, this is something we want. It says, Major Nelson was talking about it. He was saying, if you look at back at the 360 launch, that console is nothing like the 360 10 years later, mm-hmm. which I was trying to explain to Mr. Govert on Twitter. He was saying the same thing about the Xbox One, like the one today is not what it will be in 5 years, even 6 years, because technology will keep improving and they'll keep coming up with ways to change it, because they're getting constant feedback from fans and stuff of that nature. So yeah, they're basically going to integrate that into the operating system so that you'll be able to be like, you know, rating things and saying, I don't like this and you should improve that and stuff like that. So
one of the quiet features I really liked about the Xbox One, the new achievement system. I know people complain about how they overhauled and it's not as easy to get to the achievements. But man, I love it. You can get it. I got an achievement today for watching Almost Human on,
yeah. Yeah, I got some for like marathoning shows and shit. And I was like, oh, you can get those? That's cool.
Yeah, man. I'm sorry, but this shit's just fucking cool as shit, dude.
Let's see what else we got here. Obviously Microsoft debated removing the Xbox One's disk drive. Nigga, we've been saying this from day mm-hmm. one. We're pressed for time and I don't want to rehash everything, but go back and listen to any episode of the show. I would have preferred this. Chris would have preferred this. Karen would have preferred this. Like, I don't need a disc. I'm absolutely fine just, streaming my shit, or, I mean, downloading my shit or whatever. And especially if we would have got that secondhand, like, used game, mm-hmm. digital market, and if we would have got the ability to let our friends play our games, that shit would have been so clutch. And hopefully it's gonna come back. You know, I do believe that eventually you'll be able to at least opt into that, so that, you know, some people can do it.
And this is what I was trying to explain to people on Twitter, because I was like, it's clear that they're gonna bring that shit back, because Microsoft was like, all right, cool, we heard you guys. And they'd already had the Xbox One built. Mm-hmm. And they went back and they turned that feature off. So clearly it's software.
Yeah.
And you still have to install the entire fucking disc. That's mm-hmm. why people don't understand. They're like, well, it takes so long to install a game, longer to install a game on Xbox One than it does PS4. I'm like, because you're installing the entire fucking disc.
Yep.
And they're still making you do that. So it's clear that in the future, they're going to be like, you want to opt in on this shit? All right, cool. That way you don't need it. Because I'm ready for that. Bring that shit on. Because I would actually play games way more now, because it's so that's the reason why I play Assassin's Creed 4 so much, because it's like, it's easier for me just to switch over to anything I'm doing to Assassin's Creed 4, because it's just it's the only digital game I got.
Yep.
So, yeah, moving forward, if I can, I'm going to try to get digital. I know Sterling said something about hoping that Amazon does its Amazon deals and gives you just does a digital download deal. Mm. And I'm like, if they do that shit, I'm in.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually thinking about, if there was a way to trade my games in and get digital, I would do it.
Oh, yeah, I would do that. I would do it. I deal with all the games I own right now. I would trade them in and be like, let me just get the digital download code for this, because I would love to fucking do that shit.
Yep. Games with gold, speaking of digital downloads for Xbox 360 this month, Sleeping Dogs, which I've told people about on the show, is a great game. If you haven't gotten it yet, now you can get it for free. With games for gold, with gold until the 15th of January. So I suggest everybody go download it, man, because it's definitely worth it. It's very fun. It's like a big ass Hong Kong action undercover cop flick. Lara Croft, The Guardian of Light, which is like an arcade game. Don't be fooled by the Lara Croft name. It's more old Lara Croft style, not new Lara Croft style. So
dumb. They're trying to get you.
They're trying to get you, dog.
Wait, reminds me, doesn't the new Tomb Raider Definitive Edition come out this month?
It comes out this month, yeah.
That's going to be a digital download for me.
Everybody keeps going, and Lara's hair looks so good. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. I just want to play an awesome game again.
Right, I can't wait till that shit comes to digital download on Xbox One, because I am getting that shit day one. I don't give a fuck. They can charge me $60 for that shit. I'm just gonna be like, fuck it. Okay. All right.
I think we lost Kev at some point. I didn't even notice we lost him. Oh, sure. Let me see if I can get him back, man. I don't know what happened there. Hopefully he hadn't been gone. I've been wondering what happened. I was like, Kev ain't got nothing to say.
I was surprised he didn't say anything about Sleeping Dogs. I think he picked up Sleeping Dogs. He started playing it.
Yeah. I'll see if I can get them back, but we're almost done anyway. Netflix is offering a new cheaper streaming plan. Right now, if you pay the normal $7.99, it allows you to stream from multiple devices, so you can have up to two streams going at once, which, like, Karen can stream from her Xbox on my Netflix account and mine and all this stuff at the same time. If you go to the cheaper plan, you can only do it from one device at a time. And it's a dollar cheaper. It's $6.99 instead of $7.99.
I was gonna say if it was like $2, I might do it, just because I got Amazon Prime too. So it's like sometimes there's duplicates on there. So that actually might be worth it. But nah, not for a dollar. I'm fine.
For a dollar, I'd rather have the option. You know.
Yeah.
And also, like, you can. I didn't know about this. But you can get a family streaming plan for $12, and it lets four people watch at once.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't have, you know, all these kids and shit, so I don't know. But if I did, that's a good idea. The X2 writers are going to be the people that are working on Apocalypse, X-Men Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, Watch Dogs.
Okay.
Yeah. Watch Dogs release date is being confirmed as March 21st by retailers with a delivery date guaranteed. So that's good news, man. I like that Watchdog preview, but I still need to see some reviews. I would not buy it day one. I need to see some reviews for, like, how exactly that shit works, because the preview shit looked real cool, but I feel like I would get in the game and be fumbling around and fucking all it up, because they make the shit look so smooth and expert, you know, like, expert espionage, what do you call it? Expert, like,
espionage.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you just, dude just walks in, infiltrates this place all easy and shit, and uses his digital powers all easy and programs on the fly. And I'm like, I can see myself in the game right now. Like, wait, press X to, wait, hold on. Do I hide behind this car? Or, no, I need to switch the stop lights on, right? Like, so I can see me fucking that up. So I want to hear some reviews of it and exactly how easy it is to pull those things off, because it didn't look that intuitive to me, where like it's like, oh no, he's stuck, but now he's gonna sabotage the streetlights. I'm like, why would that work? Like, when right. when they just shoot your ass anyway, so.
Right.
Some dude in New York has a Guinness record for owning video games. 10,607 video games he owns in his apartment.
Okay.
Yeah. 31 years old.
Unmarried. Virgin.
Actually, no. I'll take it back. 43 years old. I don't see anything involving a woman in this man's apartment.
Right. Virgin, unmarried. Okay, yeah. I got you. Every stereotype imaginable. Got you.
Operation Ceasefire came and went, and I didn't give a fuck.
You know what? Nothing else needs to be said.
Yeah. That's all I was going to say about that article. NBA Live 14 got their first patch. They say it's a table setter for the future. It doesn't matter, because if you've seen anything to do with this game, like, it's really one of those, like, how did this get made moments. Especially the characters and how they look and the body, like the facial stuff. They got everything wrong, man. Like, just stop making NBA games, EA.
Right,
it's not for you, man. You're drunk, EA. Go home.
Right, go home, man. It's not, you know, stop.
Age of Ultron, apparently, a rumor has it that the second villain in the movie is being revealed. And, it's Baron Von Strucker.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not really a big deal, because Baron Von Strucker isn't really that huge of a villain in the Marvel Universe. I mean,
even when I heard when they said who it is, they were more like, it's like at the beginning of the game, like, I mean, at the beginning of the movie when they're just starting off and he comes in like for like 5-10 minutes. I'm just right. Like, why is this news?
Yeah, unless Joss Whedon's going to write him into some, which is possible, mm-hmm. unless he's going to write him into something bigger than what he's been in the comic books, I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, all right, Baron Von Strucker's in it. Cool. PlayStation, Xbox, I don't know if I covered this before or not, but they may use 3 times more power than the last generation. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This I did find interesting. Call of Duty Ghost sales have not been strong. And experts, analysts are saying that it could be troubling for the franchise. Like, they're starting to reach that glut where they're putting out too many titles per year. And then they also want you to buy that $50 add-on to each game. And people just don't want to spend $110 on a game. You know?
Yeah.
Especially a game that's like the one they bought 12 months ago. So, all right. And I think that might be, Borderlands, Handsome Jack is, possibly getting his own, like he's getting a full film.
I heard about this, yeah.
I'm here for that. I just need to know that we're gonna get the same voice actor and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Or else I don't care.
And I need him to be just as over the top. Like, I need him just to be having random conversations and be calm one moment, then flip it out the next. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Before you go, is that the last one you got?
Nah, there's a couple more. Okay. Have you heard about the Steam Machine?
I heard a little bit about it. I've been kind of just like ignoring it.
I was going to say it's not, I just want to cover it to say that we have heard about it, guys. It's way too much in the beta stage. There's like 300 different boxes they sent out to beta testers, and the prices, like, depending on how you break down what's inside, range from $499 to $6,000. That's not really anything to talk about yet.
Mm-hmm.
Cause no fucking way they're selling a $6,000 video game system. Sorry.
When people were bitching about a $500 one.
Yeah. So I need them to get their shit a little more streamlined before I even consider anything to do with that system. TiVo is doing something revolutionary. They're talking about taking people's DVR shows. Instead of you putting it in your local drives like everybody does right now, you would save your DVR shows to the cloud. and you could basically stream your own shows that you DVR'd, which I'm not sure why no one's done this yet. Maybe it took too long for streaming to catch up, but this would be really dope.
Absolutely.
And last news story, China. Second to last news story. China lift their bans on foreign consoles, starting like January 1st or whatever. So, that could affect the console market tremendously depending on who takes over there and what they buy. Cause they have a ton of people. And, if they fuck around and start buying PlayStations or Xboxes or whatever, that might change the whole scope of, games and who they make them for.
Right.
And the last story was, fucking MLB, 2K will no longer be coming out because no one buys baseball video games. All right, man. What'd you want to say?
No, I was on one of these sites I always get some of my news from. And so I have an aggregate that gets all these, superhero news stuff. I don't want to tell people, listen, stop freaking out and writing and believing stories that come out about Batman versus Superman.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because even now, there's two stories that came out.
Hold on, Chris. You're breaking up a little bit. I won't call you back because it's getting a little choppy. Yeah, all right. I'm gonna call him right back, guys. I don't know what happened there. I do want to hear the rest of that story.
Cool.
Yeah, I hear you now.
All right, cool. There were two stories that came out like the last couple of weeks about Batman vs. Superman. One was dealing with Wonder Woman, the other one today it was dealing with Bryan Cranston being confirmed as Lex Luthor. Neither one of them were true. And I just want people to realize that most of these blogs that you're getting some of this news from don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Like, a lot of, like, the one that was about Wonder Woman, the guy basically saying that he was like, yeah, I think she's going to be a descendant of Krypton and blah, 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 and people started freaking out. And it was like, he's saying what he thinks.
Okay.
He has no information to back this up. He's just saying what he thinks, and that doesn't make any fucking sense. Mm-hmm. Why would you believe him? Second one came out, apparently, they had to, somebody came out and they actually had to do AMC came out and was like, they had to post a clarification that somebody posted saying that Bryan Cranston has been confirmed, and they were like, no, they're not professional bloggers. They jumped the gun. This has not been confirmed. They're being unprofessional. We're sorry about this. You guys stop believing these rumors. Just wait and see. The only thing that's come out recently about this movie that I believe is they're saying that Wonder Woman's role in Batman vs. Superman might be on the same par as what Scarlett Johansson's character, Black Widow, was in Iron Man 2,
mm-hmm.
which to me makes fucking sense. Like, everybody was like, I don't understand, it's too crowded, I don't understand, they're putting too much stuff in there. It's like, it makes sense if they have her character be like Black Widow was, because you've introduced her into the movie, she has a small role, but you can also get a feel for how she'll do in a bigger role. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's actually perfect. It's not too crowded, it gives her, like, there's a lot of things that are wrong with Iron Man 2, and it was mainly writing, but if they had wrote it better, you could still have had Scarlett Johansson's character being introduced as Black Widow in that movie, and it would have been fine.
Right.
So it's just like, I want people to calm the fuck down. The movie don't come out until 2015.
Yeah, also, man, I mean, honestly, it's going to be what it is, man. Like, some of these studios get it right, some don't. Mm-hmm. You can get nervous about it. I think there's a huge disconnect between, like, Man of Steel and the way people received it. So I understand why those people might be nervous, because they didn't like Man of Steel anyway.
Right.
But I, as someone who enjoyed it, I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt that, they know what they're doing. Until they put out a movie that I don't enjoy, I'm not going to doubt Nolan, and I'm not going to doubt Zack Snyder on this franchise. So
yeah, I remember all the rumors that came out about Avengers
mm-hmm.
before it came out, and people were like, oh, it's going to be terrible, and they actually questioned Joss Whedon, and because he, Joss Whedon really doesn't, because I think somebody had seen the movie earlier and they were like, well, yeah, it's not really cinematic, and people were harped on that. They were like, oh my God, it's too big of a project for him, it's not cinematic enough. And then you see the movie and you're like, what the fuck are these motherfuckers talking about?
Yeah, and some of the rumors that come out are weird. Like, there was a rumor the other day that said Batman and Superman suits almost finalized for Batman versus Superman movie.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they need new suits?
Right.
Like, who's sitting around like, hey man, I hope they get these suits finalized or else we won't, like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It doesn't, like, it'll probably look good. So, I mean, I doubt they're going to have them wearing bright blue spandex with underpants on underneath it, on the top of it. So let's just wait till the movie comes out, please, everybody.
No, just wait until the trailer comes out, and then we can freak out.
Yeah, you man. Know?
We got so much fucking time, and there's so many other movies coming out closer that we might need to start thinking about and worrying about. Yeah. We'll just wait.
Shit, I was worried about Amazing Spider-Man 2 and then saw the trailer and was like, what the fuck was I thinking? So I'm done worrying about movies, man. I'm not even worried about the Fox movies because I assume they're going to be bad at this point. Like, even the movies that I'm like, that probably won't be good. I'm not worried about, you know what I mean? I'm just like, yeah, well, whatever, dude. Don't get stressed.
If you exceed my expectations, good. If you don't, well, yeah. I never expected much from you anyway.
Exactly. I hope everybody exceeds my expectations. I hope I walk out of fucking Days of Future Past like, you know what? They finally pulled it together, and I was wrong to think they couldn't do it. So I'm tired of motherfuckers rooting against shit. I'm not trying to hold you longer, but...
Oh, no, you're good.
Two things. One, you and I both had a conversation with Mr. Gobert on Twitter about Xbox, and while we were saying how, you know, this the, you know, not going discless is what we wanted, and that's more like the future, and it would have been better, and he was arguing against us and saying that, well, you know, this is what, yeah, this would have hurt them in the long run, or this would have hurt them in the short run, and all this other shit. I'm tired of people doing that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, when I say I don't care, I don't care. So, okay, sure. Some people wouldn't have got it. Fine. A dude that doesn't have connections to the internet wouldn't be able to get an Xbox. He should probably worry about his connection to the internet not working all the time. You know, right.
The thing about it is, I'm tired. It's such a stupid argument because nobody is buying a next gen system that doesn't have, and again, we're talking about an update check. We're not talking about your... Like, people are like, what if my internet is still shoddy? Even if your internet is still shoddy, an update check will still fucking work.
Right.
I mean, it's not taking a whole lot of bandwidth. Like, one guy was like, well, what if my bandwidth is... I got bandwidth limits. Trust me, an update check is not going to send you over the limit of your bandwidth check. Now, your BitTorrent downloads of porn might.
Right. It's not... People act like it's going to be a 17-gig update check every hour or some shit. It's just going to check to be like, oh, is this still you playing this game that you own? All right, and I'm out. You know, not to mention, I believe you brought it up, nothing that couldn't be solved by just putting the fucking disc in.
Right. I was like, did anybody ever think about that? You know, but the guy from Xbox said that if we didn't, he just told us to get a 360. He was like, because he was being a dick because you guys were being dicks.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody thought that. Nobody read his comment as being just, he was tired of taking this bullshit question and just saying, man, I'm leaving Xbox. I'm leaving Microsoft anyway. I'm fed up. Yo, you know what? If you guys have fucking internet connection problems, get a fucking 360. That's what you fucking do. And nobody told, I read it as that because
me too.
To me, it just makes fucking sense. It's like,
he was fed up. He was fed up, dude. There was no PR moment there. It should have been. Someone should have pulled him to the side, and he eventually did get pulled to the side. But yeah, it was more of a, man, fuck you guys. Really? Are you person on the internet who is contacting me now? Person with 400,000 tweets? Person that has never not checked Facebook? Is going to sit up here and tell me, what if I don't have internet for 3 days? That's the other thing people keep forgetting. It was checking hourly if you let someone else play your game. So like, if I say, Chris, you can play my joint, then it goes and checks hourly. Like, is this Chris playing this game? Cause it's Rod's game that Rod let Chris have, basically. Right. If it's not that, then it checks once a day. And even if that daily check fails, it was like up to 72 hours or some shit before it goes, okay, man, you might be pirating these games.
Right.
You motherfuckers keep your computer connected to the internet, and you wake up in the morning some days and you gotta put the password back in because it resets because it's always connected to the fucking internet, and Microsoft or whoever can go in there and be like, oh, here's some new updates. Why is this any different?
Dude, people forget you're a Windows machine. The genuine advantage shit—that's what that shit does. It checks to make sure your version of Windows is a genuine verified version. It already fucking does this shit. Like, people are bitching about it because the Xbox One was gonna do it, but it should have already happened. So again, I didn't want to have that argument anymore. So even when I said this argument, I just said that people who complain about this stuff are people that don't have an Xbox One or don't plan on getting one. Because once you have one, after about 5 to 10 minutes with one, you start realizing how those complaints are stupid. That's all I said.
Yes.
And nobody can argue with me on that, because anybody who ever has one, who I've talked to that gets one now, is goes the same thing. They're going, yeah, man, I really wish we didn't have to use the disc no more, yo.
Yeah,
and because it's just one of those things you have to experience yourself.
And that's what I'm saying. Too many of these people are talking shit and they don't fucking have one, or they're just being like, and then that's what pissed me off with Mr. Goldberg. At the end of that long ass conversation, he basically goes, I'm just kind of giving the other opinion. So he's just playing devil's advocate and he knows he's wrong. Not to mention, I was like, this is a luxury fucking item. Who buys a luxury item with no internet? That's like buying a Porsche and being like, hey, I don't appreciate the fact that this shit can go 100 miles an hour. You don't go buy a Porsche then. Go buy some other bullshit that you can afford, and don't blame the fucking Porsche for being a fucking Porsche, okay?
I don't have a problem with him. I follow him too.
Yeah, he's cool.
His news. Two things he did that bothered me. One was that, you know, the whole, you know, it's not a luxury. Gaming is a luxury item. It has always been a luxury item. Right. Like, he said something about, you know, well, I was poor and I had all the systems. I'm like, yes, you were poor. You had all the systems. That was a status symbol for you above anybody else.
Because not to mention,
system and I didn't, I looked at you and was like, damn, yo.
Not to mention, I sent him a link to the prices adjusted for inflation of consoles throughout history. There's never been a console that wasn't fucking expensive. They're all luxury items.
The other thing too is, and I I've seen him do this before. I get that you work in the industry, but you don't have any other special fucking knowledge that we don't have. I was starting to piss me off because, nigga, I'm in tech too.
Right.
I might not talk about my tech job a lot, but I'm in tech too. The shit he was saying, I'm like, well, I understand what he was saying about, hey, publishers weren't really excited about what Microsoft was trying to do. I get that. Here's the thing. Movie studios ain't excited about what Netflix is trying to do either. Right. Guess who fucking won that shit? Netflix did. Why? Because when you make a product that the customers want, the publishers and the studios might not like it, but if they see their customers want that shit, they're going to eventually bite down and they're going to fucking do it. Mm-hmm. Because they have to. Because that's what people want. Nobody wants to use the goddamn disc. Even people are saying, oh, I don't mind using this. That's because I really feel like these are motherfuckers that they don't have a real setup at home or don't play a lot of games. Because the minute you have like 3 or 4 games you're playing at the same time and you have a real setup where your system isn't sitting right beside your fucking feet, changing the disc is a problem.
Yep.
It just is.
And he was being, like, that's the other thing. He was bringing up the developer shit. Yeah, that's cool. You know what else developers really don't like? Like, what I think they might not like even more than the idea of the internet check that you would have to integrate into your game. The fact that when I go buy Call of Duty right now and I pay $50 for a used copy, they get zero of those dollars. Absolutely zero. Now, if you're too fucking lazy to integrate a hourly, daily, or 3-day internet check into your fucking game to benefit yourself so that you get all the money, that's your fault and you deserve to be obsolete.
No, nigga, like, what got me about it was, like, we deal with digital games. Like, if it's so hard to do, how do you know when a person buys a digital game that the game is theirs and not something they download off the internet somewhere? Right. So don't tell me that you can't fucking do it or it's too fucking hard. You already fucking do it.
Right.
Like, that's the one that pissed me
off.
And
the Xbox is going to do it anyway, not you.
Right.
You know, like, the Xbox is what checks the library, not your fucking, it's not like your game has to go out there and check the library itself. The fucking Xbox goes, is this your game? Okay, cool. Keep playing.
It's one of the things that people sometimes get afraid of change, and right. I totally understand why some developers might not like it. It means having to change the way they do things. And as a developer myself, I understand that sometimes I'm like, fuck that shit. I do it this way. I want to do it this way. I don't want to fucking change. And I understand that, guess what? That is the opposite of progress.
Right. And the last thing that I was going to say, because I said I had two things. This is about Man of Steel, and it's more about nerds in general. Hey, man, it's okay to like some shit. All right, guys? And it's okay to admit you like shit. Like, I had to call out my friend, the Jay LaRie, about the fact that I know she liked Man of Steel. Because she was shitting on it so hard on my timeline the other day. And I, keep in mind, I didn't start a debate. I wasn't trolling. I just gave my opinion that I think it's a good movie. And all of a sudden, people were in my timeline trying to argue with me about it. And I was like, but it is good. And it's definitely better than any other Superman movie I've ever seen. And she brought up some cartoon movies. I said, that's cute. But I'm talking about live action. This shit is good.
Hey, I'm sorry. It's still better than, like, that's just not a fair comparison. Yeah, and it's still better than a lot of those fucking.
Yeah, it's still better than Superman vs. the Elite to me. So
it really is.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, you know, I just, I was just like, I don't want to
say that that's better than Man. And I'm just like, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop.
I just don't even want to argue that. So I just go, okay. But yeah, I had to basically blackmail her the other day and tell her, like, I do have the audio archive footage of you telling me when I interviewed you to go see Man of Steel because it was so good and you had such a good time, and this was less than 24 hours after you seen the movie, and I was like, I'm gonna go see it soon, and you were like, oh, you're in for a treat, you're gonna love it. And so, and then she was like, okay, I do love destruction. And so I was cool with all that stuff. And I was like, then why are you acting like you didn't?
I don't know what it is about these days, but I feel like I was, me and Kev just did the last, review for the last episode of Almost Human, mm-hmm. which is the by far the funniest episode they've done this season. Mm-hmm. And I happened to look it up online and I saw somebody was complaining about the episode going, well, I mean, they need to have more structure. They need to bring more to it. The theme of this episode is stuff we've already seen before. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes, guys, it's either good just to watch an episode and enjoy it. Cause yeah, it was a theme that you see in every cop drama, they always do the whole, I have a bomb strapped, somebody put a bomb on me, I have to rob a bank. We always see that. You know, every cop show has done that. They even did a movie on it, whatever. But it's like, who cares? It's still a good episode. It's fun to watch. I was laughing my ass off at Dorian being an asshole cause he didn't get a full charge. Like, this motherfucker was just going the fuck off. It's like, it's funny. Why can't you just enjoy it? Why do you need something bigger? Why does it need to have a purpose? Why does it need to have why can't you just watch it? And then on top of that, if a show is that bad and you start finding yourself repeatedly reviewing something to be a 2 out of 5 or being horrible, why are you still watching it?
Right. How many two out of fives does the show have to get before you can let me go watch it in peace and enjoy it?
Now, I'll be honest with you. If Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's three big shows I'm watching. Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. back today, by the way. Mm-hmm. Almost Human and Arrow.
Yep.
The minute that I start getting like 3 or 4 episodes and I'm giving them like D or F ratings.
Yeah, I'm done. It's too much good TV to be out here complaining about bad TV. I can move on to some new shit. I'm completely fine. I'm doing the reviews for Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., but by talking about just my principles, mm-hmm. I do not tune into anything I'm not entertained by. Fuck that.
Right. It's like, I'm telling you, I said this on the last Almost Human review. The minute one of the shows, you're going to stop seeing reviews from us on that shit. Like, I'll stop doing Almost Human reviews because I'm just like, I can't watch that show no more. Because it's just like, it's no purpose. I'm not going to stick by because once I turn on a show, I'm probably going to be done with it. And none of the reviews I do will be any use to anybody who wants to see the show because I'm gonna think it sucks. And that's what I've been seeing from like some of the Almost Human reviews, the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. reviews, hell, just any of these reviews, these bad reviews. It's like you already came in thinking this shit was gonna suck.
Right.
And so because it's not living up to what you want, if no matter how good the episode is, it's still gonna be bad.
Yeah.
So just stop. Like, so for me, if Man of Steel was that bad for you, I don't want to hear shit from you about Batman vs. Superman. Because there's no way that movie can be any better than Man of Steel.
I just want to know, fuck that. I don't care if you hate it. Why are you in my mentions? Because I'm not going in, I'm not finding anyone who likes something and telling them that I don't like it. Like, it's a very weird thing. Like, you can go, and it happens all the time on my timeline. I see someone gushing over something that I think is pure D shit. And I just let it float because that's your opinion and I'm glad you had a good time. There's too much good shit happening for someone to try to piss on your parade. But it's without fail, man. If I say I like something, it almost every single time someone has to come in there and tell me why it ain't shit. Like,
oh, dude, that happened to me with Almost Human. Like, I was going on a rant about how I couldn't find the last Almost Human episode on demand. I was like, man, I'm so mad because I love this show. Pick up somebody. Oh man, I think that show was terrible.
Right.
Why would you say that to me? Why would you bring that up to me? Like, obviously, I said,
Walking Dead is returning soon too. I can't wait for that. And this, so you like it? Oh, I know what it was. It was they released the picture for part two of this season. Oh, yeah. And it's Carl and Rick with their backs turned kind of to the camera looking back. And I think it's even said called Don't Look Back or something weird like that. And they're walking on the train tracks or something away from you. And the guy's like, oh no, that's going to be terrible. And I was like, what? Why would you even say that? Like, he's like, man, looks like they're going to try to make it more about Carl. And I was like, Carl is a badass. And he's like, oh, I hate that kid. I was like, okay, well, let's just stop talking. Yeah, man. He's the worst, man. Did you like the last season? Why are we still talking?
No. I didn't like the last season, but I'm watching this next season because I don't understand that either. It's like, so you haven't liked any fucking season of The Walking Dead, but here we are, what, season four?
Right.
And you're still fucking watching. Why are you doing this to yourself?
You haven't liked anything since like two or three episodes in, but you've made it 4 years. I don't understand you, and we're not the same kind of person.
No, I can never do that. Like, it's one thing if you binge watch it,
yeah,
and you're like, you get caught up, and you're like what you did with Sons of Anarchy, where you were like, you watch like the first like four seasons, and you're like, oh, it's okay, and then you start turning, and you're just like, man, this is some bullshit.
And you know what? For Sons of Anarchy, I will say I love hate watching it though.
Yeah.
Like, that is a completely different thing because I admit to it. Like, I'm like when I talk to these people, I'm like, so you just hate Walking Dead? Mm-hmm. No, I'm a fan of the show. I mean, I like the comic books more. I mean, why'd they punk out the governor like that? I'm like, but you knew it would never be like that after like one episode of the TV show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Well, you know, I still got hope for it. Nope. Tell me you hate it. Just tell me you hate it.
Just admit it. Just admit it. You know, it's like, oh man, like, I don't know why people just be honest. And then when you say, okay, so you hate Man of Steel. So why do you hate Man of Steel? And they give some bullshit answer. And then you go, so what about like the destruction in Avengers? Did you care about that? Well, no. That was different because, exactly.
Right.
You have no, like, I'm still waiting for somebody to give me a legit reason why Man of Steel is bad. Oh, well, you know, it's disjointed and the acting is bad. No.
Iron Man 3 is only good because the plot point is what they did in Manhattan was so fucked up.
Right.
Like, if it was no big deal, the destruction that would laid to New York City, then Iron Man 3's entire plot makes no sense for that dude to be that traumatized by that shit.
Right.
But then even the fucking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would make no sense if it wasn't a huge fucking deal. It is a huge deal, yet somehow Superman and these guys set up the same type of huge deal in that universe, and it just doesn't work because he was supposed to fly these guys out to the country. Right, and fight them.
And there's no way they could possibly be bringing that up and using that in the second movie.
Right.
Because everybody knows there's going to be another movie. So they're like, well, they didn't address the destruction. Well, you do know there's going to be another movie, right? Like when they complain about Amazing Spider-Man and it's, oh, well, they never really addressed the issue with his parents. It's like, yeah, but they're going to do that in the second movie.
Right.
What they didn't do in the first, they're going to do it in the second movie. What? You don't know that. Watch the trailer.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It seems like they do. So,
So obvious. I remember when it ended, I said, well, it's obvious they're doing a trilogy or something because they left some things unresolved on purpose. Well, I just don't get why he went back to Gwen Stacy. Motherfucker, have you read any of the books?
Well, not only that, but nigga, have you seen her?
Obviously.
Like, what do you mean? He's a teenager. She's hot. She likes him. He likes her. Oh, yeah. Why didn't he just keep his promise?
Yeah, Peter would never go back on a promise. Okay, dog.
Peter always goes, like...
Yeah, what? Okay. Apparently, you guys have...
That's something, too, I'm tired of. I know we're going way over. Yeah. But that's something, too, I'm tired of. I'm tired of pseudo comic book fans.
Right.
These motherfuckers that came and go, well, it's nothing like the comics. Nigga, when's the last time you read a comic?
Right.
I mean, I never really read the comics. I just kind of watched the cartoons. Nigga, you are not... You are not in this level.
I'm a good 95% sure most of the people that shit on these movies, their familiarity with these comic book characters is mostly the 90s cartoons.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm telling you guys right now, the 90s cartoon changed so fucking much
right
from the comics
right
that No, just stop. Yeah. You are telling on yourself by doing this, because I can tell right away that you have no idea what you're talking about. Like, when people go, Superman doesn't kill, the fuck he doesn't.
Right,
like,
he doesn't kill in that cartoon.
I don't even read Superman comics, but just a quick Google search will show you on Wikipedia or other places where Superman has, in fact, fucking killed.
Right.
So, like, how about you Google first? Even if you're not really that familiar, Google it first and then find out if you're right.
Dude, I remember someone was like, Superman doesn't kill, and I was like, what about what he did to Doomsday? What'd he do to Doomsday? Man, fuck you, dog. I can't believe you. Why are you telling me there's 37 tweets into this conversation?
No, it's like, so when he fought Doomsday, what about the destruction in that one?
Yeah, in the middle of the, not to mention he died, but in the middle of the city, because they didn't.
I remember it was, I can't remember who the comic book writer was, but he was complaining about the destruction, saying that Superman would never fight in the city, and I showed him the clip from like one of the Superman episodes where Superman was fighting Darkseid either Darkseid or Doomsday.
Yes, dead in the middle of the city. It was Darkseid and the army, and he fought him dead in the middle of the city.
And he goes, "Oh, well, that's a cartoon. It doesn't really count."
Okay. So we count Christopher Reeves as canon. That's Christopher Reeves is the only one to count now.
And by the way, mm-hmm. I really believe that Christopher Reeves' Superman killed Zod at the end of Superman 2. Because he doesn't have powers, and he lets him go into this hidden zone, and the shit shatters. But, you know.
Yeah, but he caught that that Daily Planet thing. So he did.
Yeah, he did go back in time to save Lois Lane. So that's, you know,
by spinning around the Earth back. You know what, man? This has been the Nerd Off, man. I'm just getting pissed now. So this has been fun. Chris, thank you so much for doing it. Kev, he said his computer fucked up on him. So, he told me on Twitter, he had a seizure. So we lost Kev, but I appreciate him being here too, man. It was kind of an impromptu episode to just get through some backlog. And, you guys are always like, helping out with the show, man. So I really appreciate you. And, catch them on Movie Trailer Reviews, and also Insanity Check Podcast. So, we'll talk to you guys, next time out here in Premium Land. Peace.